John chapter 3. I do want to say thank you for those that gave towards the new printer for church. We did get a new printer, so we're able to print the bulletins and everything else that we need to print, so thank you very much for that. So 1 John chapter 3, and we are going to read verses 1 through 3 and talk about being confident in God's love, being confident in God's love. So 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together. Thank you, Father, for just speaking to our hearts through the songs that have been sung. Father, we ask that you would take the word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, would you pierce our hearts with the truth of your word? Because, Father, we know that your word is the only thing that can speak to our hearts, the only thing that can reveal to us, Lord, things in our life that may be hindering us from having victory in our life over sin, even being able to see your hand working in our life. Lord, thank you that your word is like a mirror. We can look into it. Father, you reveal things to us, but Lord, it's also to be used to conform us, transform us more into the image of Christ, where we just allow our faith to be strengthened, to be encouraged, where we, Lord, are we just see the faith of other men and women throughout Scripture. Lord, that you were always there for them. You always helped them along life's journey. We thank you for the encouragement we obviously get through Jesus Christ and his love for us. Father, we ask that you speak to the children's heart in junior church, just like you did in Sunday school, continuing, Lord, to allow your word to take a deep root in their heart, to bring forth much fruit in their lives. And Father, we ask the same for us, Lord, that the fruit would continue to be cultivated and revealed in our life through the Holy Spirit and his ministry. Father, we just ask that you'd be glorified, because we are here to worship you. We're here to sit at your feet. And Father, we do look forward to seeing what John saw, what Paul saw, as they were caught up into heaven and saw and heard wonderful things. We look forward to the day as we can stand before you all throughout eternity. And Father, just to be in your glory, as your glory will be what shines throughout heaven. No need for the sun or moon, because your glory is bright enough. And Father, we ask that you would glorify yourself in our lives, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Talk to us this morning about being confident in God's love, because some people struggle with God's love and why God loves them. Does God love them? Some are basing it on their past life. Some are basing it on their current struggles. But nothing changes the love of God for you and me. Paul talked about nothing being able to separate us from the love of Christ. And God wants us to be confident in his love. Because when you're confident in somebody's love for you, then you never question their faithfulness. You never question their trustworthiness. You never question anything about them, because you're so confident in their love for you. And God wants us to be more confident in his love for us, because obviously he has shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He has shown us his love through the cross of Calvary, through our life in general. The fact that he would, whatever your background is, wherever you were in life, when Christ came to you and saved you and gave you just the knowledge that you needed a Savior, that you were trapped and you were dying in your sins, but Christ loves you enough that he died for you. Whatever moment in your life that was, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 5 minutes ago, God wants us to be confident in his love. Now, we know what Scripture says, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can read the Bible all day long, but if we don't apply it to our life, if we don't believe it, if we don't act upon it, it does us no good. The children of Israel, they had the promises of God, but many of them did not act upon those promises, and they would turn their back on God, not trusting Him, not following Him, and they would cause devastation in their life. They would cause difficulties in their life. But those that would cry out to the Lord would always experience the love and the grace of the Lord and His leading in their life. This morning, as we talk about being confident in God's love, allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to show you whether or not you are confident in His love, because confidence in God's love will help us in our Christian journey with the Lord. The first thing I want us to see in verses 1 and 2 is just our position as believers. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. You and I have this wonderful position with God, being one of His children because of Jesus Christ, because of putting our faith and trust in Him. We have this wonderful position that can never be taken away. It can never be disannulled. It can never be retracted. You'll never get anything in the mail saying, I disown you. Because God is not a man that He should lie. Once He has redeemed you and myself, you are redeemed infinitely. Never to lose that position as a child of God. And with that position comes some awesome blessings. But in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. I bring this verse up because, again, there are some that struggle with whether or not God loves them. If God loves them, why are they always having problems in their life? Why are they always struggling seemingly with the same sin or just the same difficulties in life? And again, the Bible reminds us that all are under sin, that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So obviously the Bible reveals the truth that those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ have become by faith the sons of God. We are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, something that can never be changed, something that can never be taken away from us. But many in their minds have convinced themselves they're not good enough to be a child of God. They're not good enough for God to love them, yet God has loved us. And He manifested that love on the cross of Calvary, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's own will, saving us, redeeming us, sanctifying us, justifying us, allowing us to be His children. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Again, the Holy Spirit of God will remind and encourage that child that may be struggling that they are a child of God and they can cry out to the Heavenly Father. Again, the enemy wants to keep people in the dark. He doesn't want people to come to know Christ as their Savior. But then those that are weak in their faith, those that are feeble in their minds, he wants to suppress them. He wants to try to control them in their thoughts and convince them in their hearts that, yeah, God doesn't love you because of this, because of that. I'm glad that God does love His children, and nothing will ever change that. Again, a child of God that is deliberately living in sin, God chastises. But a child of God that is just weak in their faith and they're struggling with it, man, God comes alongside and he's very gracious. He's very loving. That's why he's given the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to remind us it's nothing we've done that has caused God to love us. He loved us because he gave us life. And he manifested that love on the cross of Calvary. Now we are to show our love back to him by trusting him, by putting our life in his hands and yielding ourselves to the Lord and following him faithfully and being doers of the word and not just hearers only. I'm glad that God is a doer of his word. I'm glad that God does love. I'm glad that God does forgive. I'm glad that God does show grace and he has mercy upon his people, because he remembers our frame is but dust, but he wants us to move on from there. He wants us to become confident in his love for us. Yeah, when you think about just the position that we have in Christ, we are reminded that because we are his children, we are loved by our Heavenly Father. A salvation from the start to the finish for a child of God is an expression of God's love. Again, not that salvation ends, but from the moment of salvation until the moment you see him face to face, your entire life is an expression of God's love. Doesn't matter, again, the devil wants to bring up in someone's mind, yeah, what about the bad things? Again, we already know that all things work together for good to them who love God. Again, we have to read the entire verse. And take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Because there are those that will try to use this verse that do not believe in Jesus Christ to say, well, all things work together for good. No, that's not what the verse says. That's why it's important that we do believe what God says in his word and what he has revealed to us, because this will help us to be confident in God's love, that God cannot do anything wrong. God never does anything wrong. Everything that happens in our life, good or bad, God uses it for good. Again, in Romans 8, 28, reminding us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what is the purpose in your life that God has given? If you were to read on in that same chapter, we're reminded to be conformed into the image of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, to have the compassion of Christ, to have the will that Christ had, that he wanted to accomplish the Father's will. Even though in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked if this cup may pass from me, he knew what he was going to face. He knew the scourging, the beating. He knew everything. And he asked, but he said, but not my will, thy will be done. Because he wanted the Father to be glorified. And we want the Father to be glorified in our life, and he's glorified when we're confident in our love that he has for us, in his love for us. We're confident, and nothing will deter us from being faithful to the Lord and following the Lord. We'll have our moments in life. Again, we're not Christ. We are still sinners saved by grace, but God wants us to be so confident in his love for us that when the temptation comes to think that God is unfair, to think that God is not being good, is not being loving, we're so confident in his love that when that temptation comes to believe a lie, we don't believe it, because we're always reminded that he already manifested his love in the greatest way that anyone can, and that was dying for me while I was yet a sinner. Some people have this idea that, you know, well, I got to get my life straight. I got to get things out of my life before I can come to church, before I can, you know, give my life to the Lord. It'll never happen. No one will ever get their life straight before they receive Christ as their Savior, before they put their faith in Jesus Christ, because it's the Holy Spirit of God in us that helps us to accomplish those spiritual victories in our life that God wants us to accomplish and have victory over. But we notice in verse 1, he says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? What manner, speaks of a special quality. It speaks of an out-of-this-world kind of love. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. In Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for us to become perfect and sinless. In fact, he's given us of the Holy Spirit to help us to get to that point. And at one moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be made perfect and sinless as we're caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. But again, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He already knows every one of us. He already knows our struggles. He knows the struggles that we've had, are having, and will have. And yet he is the one that's going to continue that good work in us, transforming us more into the image of Christ. But I will have to say this, we have to yield ourselves to him, because he doesn't force himself in our life. He doesn't force the change in us. Sometimes I wish he would, but he wants us to yield to him. He wants us to follow his ways, and what he has revealed, he wants us, again, to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That means he's going to show us some things that need to be removed out of our life, and he's going to show us things that need to be added to our life. Out with the old, in with the new. Out with the bad, in with the good. The Lord wants us to be confident in his work in our life and yielding ourselves to him and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." All right, wholly, wholly, completely. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He's the one that's called us into this fellowship with him. And he's the one that wants to do a great work in us, transforming us more to the image of Christ. He wants us to realize what's wrong in our life, and it starts with our thinking. Because it is what the devil attacked in the Garden of Eden. It attacked the thinking of Adam and Eve. Because again, what we think affects our heart, and we act upon it. Their thinking was changed from what God had said to believe a lie. And we have to always make ourselves not believe everything we think, but believe everything God has said. Because not everything that comes into our mind is right. And really, not everything we think is right is right. We have to match it up with the truth of God's word. We have to seek the Lord. It does start with renewing our mind, and that's on a daily basis. When we look at verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3, again he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." God says that we can have some promises to help our confident remain confident, our confidence to remain confident in the Lord's love for us, is that he says, "But we know that he shall appear." Again, God's not a man that he should lie. God says he will appear. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear." Now, underline that in your mind, or you know, mentally in your Bible, if you're looking at your Bible, "when Christ, who is our life," as Paul writes this to a church at Colossae, he's reminding them that one day they're going to see their Lord and Savior face to face. But he makes a statement. He says, "when Christ, who is our life," is Jesus Christ your life? Is he my life? Is my life all wrapped up in Jesus Christ? Because many people have their lives wrapped up in carnal things, in worldly things, that doesn't help them spiritually, doesn't help them to draw closer to the Lord. doesn't fulfill the Father's will in their life. Many people are wrapped up in their jobs while their family is being really just cast to the side. They're all focused on what they want. People are wrapped up. I mean, if you've ever watched any type of sports, and the cameras will span the crowd, and they always zoom in on someone who is just fanatic about their team. I mean, where they're all just painted up and just weird looking, all for, you know, cheering on their team. Their life is wrapped up in their team, in their sports team. You know how you can tell a Christian whose life is wrapped up in Christ? Everything about their life lifts up Jesus Christ. Everything they do, everything they say. They're concerned about having the appearance of evil. Because the Bible tells us to abstain from the appearance. Not only are we to abstain from the physical wickedness and sin of this world, but even the appearance. And I'll give you a silly illustration. You're not going to see me coming out of a bar. But you're also not going to see me coming out of the convenience store with a root beer bottle that looks like a bottle of beer. Because the appearance of it. We want our life to truly shine for Christ. We truly want our life to be wrapped up in Christ. That everything that I'm always thinking, is this going to show Christ to the world? Or is this going to cause people to think that I have things in my life? I mean, listen, there are holidays that are celebrated in this country. There are festivities that are celebrated in this country. A true Christian should not be going to Louisiana, to New Orleans, to Mardi Gras. As a child of God, we should not allow ourselves to be wrapped up in the wickedness of this world. Strange thing is, I mean, you know, cell phones, they're good, but they can be bad as well. They can consume your time. The internet is good, but it can be bad. People consume their time on the internet looking at things they shouldn't look at. Television as well. What I'm saying is that as Paul writes to these believers, he says, when Christ, who is our life, how much of our life truly is wrapped up in Jesus Christ and his ways and his word? Because our life will show how much Christ means to us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There's coming a day when he shall appear, and we're going to see him face to face. We don't want to be caught somewhere doing something that does not bring honor and glory to him. Second thing he says is, we shall see him as he is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise that God says he shall appear and we shall see him as he is, because we will be like him. We will have our glorified bodies in a twinkling of an eye. We will be transformed into what the Lord has been working in us to do. As the Lord works in our heart and he reveals things in our life that aren't right, and he shows us things that are not right, weights and sins he wants us to lay aside. It's all in preparation of seeing our Savior face to face. It's all in preparation of the moment that he's going to appear to receive us unto himself, to be with him for eternity. But again, the question is, how much of our life is wrapped up in him? 2% because we came to church, 4% because we read our Bible this morning, 6% because we prayed as well? Or does he have all of us? He has our mind. He has our heart. He has our body. No, a Christian should not be getting tattoos. Now, can't help the tattoos that a Christian already had before they got saved, but I know of Christians who claim to be Christians who get tattoos all the time, and that's a marking of the body. As the Bible tells us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And they use Scripture to back up what they do. You realize we can use Scripture to back up any wicked thing we want to do. But as a child of God, someone whose life is wrapped up in Christ, the Holy Spirit will lead us into everlasting life. He'll lead us in the way that is righteous and the way that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifies our Heavenly Father. But you and I shall see Him, and we shall be like Him when we see Him. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. The Lord is working in your life and my life for an end goal, and that is to be glorified. We're going to have our glorified bodies, but before we get those glorified bodies, He's working in us to help us to be more conformed into the image of Christ, because He's called us to be like Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God helps us to be like Christ. You know what? Someone who's living in sin, they're not confident in God's love because they have sin in their life. Sin that they are not wanting to get rid of. Sin that they're enjoying. Sin that they're hiding. And they're not confident in God's love. They're not confident in their relationship with the Lord because they are regarding iniquity in their heart. They're giving their life wholly over to what the flesh wants instead of what the Lord wants. In verse number 3, though, in 1 John chapter 3, are you confident this morning in God's love for you? Because some days that's the only thing you have to encourage yourself in, is that, well, everybody may be against me, but I know God loves me. Some days that might be the only encouragement you have. I don't know what David encouraged himself with, what psalm he encouraged himself with when his men spake of stoning him and he was in the same predicament as them, but yet the Bible says he sat down and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes the only thing we can think about is, well, I know God loves me. I can't think of one reason why He loves me, but I know He loves me because His word says so. Being confident in God's love for you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. God wants us to be prepared believers. Be prepared for when the Lord returns, when the Lord calls us up to meet Him in the air. And this preparation that He wants us to be prepared with is supposed to be based on our hope, to be based on our hope. Again, someone that's not confident in God's love for them, they're not going to have much hope. They're going to think that they have no hope. But someone who is confident in their love for the Lord, they will prepare themselves to see the Lord based on the hope that they have. In Luke 21, verse 27, he says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know, the disciples there towards the end, they were asking, when will we know? When shall all these things come to pass? I mean, they were wanting the Lord to establish the kingdom right then. They thought He had come to establish it. He had not come to establish the kingdom on earth yet. He came to, obviously, be the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. But He encourages them in the fact that He is coming again. And regardless of what some people want to say and think about, well, you know, they've been preparing for His coming since this moment when the Lord spoke to them. And Paul was preaching about and teaching about the second coming of the Lord. It didn't happen in his time. Didn't happen in Peter's time. Didn't happen in John's time. But we are to always have that mindset and that heart and that ready, and really that hope that it could be today. And I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared to meet my Lord and Savior. I want to be prepared by being confident in his love for me that, you know what, he is coming again. Doesn't matter if it's been over 2,000 years. He's still coming. And I still want to have that anticipation, that excitement, that it could be today. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it is written, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Isaiah said in Isaiah 25, "It shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Being prepared and preparing ourselves because we have the confidence of God's love for us that we know he is coming again. But how do we purify ourselves? Because he says, every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of the Lord's return, the hope of the rapture of God's people, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Again, many of God's people are going to be ashamed at his coming because they weren't prepared. They did not prepare themselves to meet their Savior. Not that they're going to lose their salvation. That's a gift from God. But they're going to be ashamed at his coming. And God wants us to purify ourselves even as he is pure. And it starts with our thinking. It starts with all us always changing our thinking. Our thinking needs to line up with the Lord's thinking. And what the Lord has revealed, again, Adam and Eve, they knew what God said. They were enjoying themselves. They were enjoying the place God had given them. They were enjoying the relationship God had given them. They were enjoying the provisions God had given them. But they were convinced in their mind that the one thing God didn't want them to have, it was okay to have it. Because they believed a lie from the enemy. They believed a lie from someone who did not believe in God, did not trust the Lord, did not remain in the state or in the place that he was created to be in, glorifying God and leading all of heaven in worshiping God. Their thinking was changed. God wants us to purify ourselves by changing our thinking. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the Bible says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." What I'm thinking, is it drawing me closer to the Lord, or is it leading me away from the Lord? What I'm thinking about doing, is it going to glorify God or not glorify God? What I'm hearing and thinking about, is it changing my faith in the truth of God's word? Because many of God's people have been led astray by false teachings. Many have been led away by just their own thinking as well. That's why if we're confident in God's love for us, then we will be hearers or doers of the word and not hearers only. We will give ourselves to the Lord. Our life will be wrapped up in the Lord, as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And while we change our thinking, it says in Romans 12, 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Every one of us, including myself, can justify the things we do and it not be something that's glorifying to God. We can justify anything. We can convince ourselves that anything is okay. But if we were to take what we think is right, compare it to God's nature, God's character, God's word, and let God be the judge over what we think, probably 90% of what we think we would see, wow, that's wrong. And then we would find ourselves realizing, Lord, I need you to purify me. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to help me to be more conformed into the image of Christ, because it does. It starts in our minds. That's exactly where the devil attacked Adam and Eve, was in their minds, which affected their heart, their obedience to God, which caused them to disobey God, caused them to do something that was not glorifying to God. And God wants us to purify ourselves by changing our thinking, and when we change our thinking, then our ways will be changed as well. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Again, many will sit there and argue, well, we don't have the originals, we don't have the true word of God. And that's wrong thinking, because that thinking then gives that person the liberty to live their life however they want, without any regard to what God wants, without any regard to what God has said. But someone who is confident in God's love for them, are confident in God's word, and they are confident in their life being completely wrapped up in Christ and preparing themselves to meet their Savior one day face to face. And while we're patiently looking for the blessed hope, we are preparing ourselves, but we're letting God be glorified in our life. We're letting God be exalted in the life that he has redeemed, the life that he has saved, a life that he wants to work in and work through. Again, as the Lord says, that we are to yield ourselves to him. Again, as Paul said in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, how much of your life belongs to the Lord? Every detail of it, how much belongs to the Lord? How much of your thinking belongs to the Lord? Because again, we can convince ourselves that what we're doing is okay, and I'm not doing anything wrong. I really believe King Saul had convinced himself that he was faithful to God. Because when Samuel would come and question him, and question, you know, what's the meaning of the bleeding of the sheep? Why do I hear sheep? When they were told the battle that they were going into, they were to destroy all the people, all the animals, keep nothing back. And Saul was convinced, well, you know, the people kept back the best to give to God. And he even tells Samuel, I obeyed God in everything he said. He convinced himself that he was right and he had obeyed God, but yet he had not obeyed God, because he chose to do what he wanted instead of what God said. So this morning, I mean, I want us to be confident in God's love for us so that we will continue to allow God to work in our life. So we will continue to draw nigh unto him. We will continue to lay our life before him and say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Wicked ways does not necessarily mean that you're a murderer or anything like that, but we are not walking in the ways of the Lord. We're not allowing our life to glorify him. And God wants to be and needs to be glorified in all areas of our life, but he wants us to be confident in his love so that we are constrained. Because of his love for us, we are constrained to live our life for him. That we're not walking in darkness anymore, but we're walking in the light as he is in the light. We're truly being what he's called us to be, light and salt in a dark, sinful world that needs to see genuineness among God's people. There's plenty of churches and plenty of Christians. They're all about rock and roll. They're all about partying. They're all about the things of this world. And it doesn't draw anybody to Christ. Doesn't convince anybody or convict anybody that, hey, my ways need to change. Because they're seeing, and I'm not saying people in here, just in general. Again, if we're confident in God's love for us, then we're going to be confident in our walk with the Lord and living our life for the Lord and believing and trusting and relying upon Him and truly letting Him guide our life. No one's perfect. Get close enough to me, like my family, you'll know nothing's perfect in my life, but the truth is still the truth. We have to have a different mindset as God's people that my life is to be all about Him. Can I think of somebody else that needs to hear the message or their life needs to be? Absolutely. But it's not about anybody else. It's about drawing a circle around me and making sure I'm right with my Heavenly Father, making sure I'm letting Him have His way with me, changing me into the image of His Son and my Savior, helping my thinking to be different, helping my heart to be different, my heart to be all about Him so that He is glorified in my life.